Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us. You know how this works. We find something interesting and we break it down piece by piece, try to figure out what's really going on. So today, we're looking at the No Agenda newsletter, specifically the one from March 22nd, 2025.
Yeah, so think of it like this. We're kind of getting a peek behind the curtain, right? Seeing what these guys were thinking about, what they were focused on, all that good stuff.
Right. So, what are we trying to do with this deep dive? Well, it's not about memorizing every single detail. It's more about pulling out those key points, the
Yeah.
things that might spark your curiosity or give you a new way to think about things.
Exactly. I mean,
Right.
we don't want to become experts on everything they mention. The point is to understand like what resonated with them enough to put it in their newsletter and why someone like you listening right now might find that relevant.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's get right into it. One of the first things that jumps out from the newsletter is all the talk about listener support. They're very open about how they fund their operation, listing all sorts of ways people can chip in. Of course, you've got your PayPal, your Stripe, the usual suspects.
Right, those are pretty standard these days.
But they also have these different tiers for recurring subscriptions, which I found pretty interesting. Like they specifically mention the $33 and $33 a month option being pretty popular, even more so than the $11.11 one.
Huh, that is interesting.
And then there's a $4 weekly option, and even something called, get this, a knighthood layaway. You pay $50 a month for 20 months. I don't even know what that gets you, but it's definitely unique. What do you make of all these different options?
Well, to me, it shows they're really trying to engage their supporters on different levels. You know, they're not just looking for the big donors, they value contributions of all sizes. It's definitely a community-driven funding model. And then you have these creative names for the donation tiers, like the Commodore offer and executive producer donation. It's all about creating a sense of belonging.
Yeah, that makes sense. And speaking of those higher level donations, they do mention that they come with titles and I'm quoting here, bragging rights, plus that executive producer credit. The message is clear. Every dime helps the show. They even provide a physical address for sending checks. You know, some people still prefer that old school approach. It really highlights how much they rely on direct support from their listeners.
Absolutely. And if we take a step back and look at the bigger picture of the media landscape, it's a pretty different approach, right? You know,
Yeah.
most media outlets rely on advertising or corporate sponsors. So this raises the question of how these different funding models might influence the type of content that gets produced and the perspectives that get prioritized. Something to think about.
For sure. Now, here's something that really caught my eye. The newsletter explicitly mentions a topic they're not going to be covering, and that's sudden revelations about weird structures under the Egyptian pyramids. Apparently, this has been making the rounds online and on some other podcasts, even though the initial claims have been around for over 2 years. What do you think about them highlighting something they're not going to talk about? Seems kind of counterintuitive.
Well, I think it says a lot about their priorities. By specifically saying we're not covering this, they're setting themselves apart from those outlets that jump on any sensational story, even if it's not really substantiated. It shows a commitment to a different kind of analysis, you know?
Right. And they even mentioned some of the theories that have been floating around about these alleged structures. Zero point energy, space alien communication, time travel. They even said something about water pumping. But they basically shut it all down, saying, find something else to do and let the Egyptologists work on this on their time. Pretty definitive, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. But I think the key is in their reasoning. They emphasize that their show, No Agenda, is all about media deconstruction. So instead of getting caught up in the details of these unverified claims, they're more interested in how these kinds of stories spread, what narratives they tap into, and how they're presented in the media. It's a meta-analysis of the media itself.
So when they say media deconstruction, they're not just talking about summarizing the news, right? It's more like dissecting how the news is being presented, maybe even uncovering hidden agendas.
Precisely. It's about going beyond the surface and looking at the origins of a story, how it spreads, and the messages, both explicit and implicit, that it conveys. The fact that they chose to highlight this topic by saying they won't be covering it really speaks volumes about their analytical approach.
Gotcha. Now, moving on from ancient mysteries, the newsletter shifts gears to something a little more contemporary, Tesla fires. They express some concern about attacks on Tesla showrooms and the environmental impact of these vehicles going up in flames. What were your thoughts on this section?
Well, I think it's interesting how they immediately link these events to the party of climate change fear. It definitely suggests a particular perspective on why these attacks might be happening, you know?
Right. And they also bring in Elon Musk's perspective, quoting him as saying that these attacks are a reaction to the shutdown of scam programs and corrupt giveaways. So we're getting at least two potential explanations here.
And the newsletter seems to lean towards validating Musk's explanation, even saying that it seems more true by the minute. So again, we see their editorial voice coming through. Even in this behind-the-scenes look at their thought process, they're not just presenting information, they're offering an interpretation.
Then they connect this to the whole paying your fair share debate, using some pretty strong language to describe it, calling it an extortion racket. That's a pretty loaded term.
It definitely reflects a certain ideological perspective, and it's probably designed to resonate with their existing audience, not shying away from controversy.
Then, as if to offer a counterpoint, they mentioned Trump and others talking about a balanced budget, even referencing the Bill Clinton era as a time of prosperity that we might want to look back on. What do you make of that juxtaposition?
Well, it seems like they're trying to tie the issue of Tesla fires and the motivations behind them to these larger economic and political debates. By referencing a time of economic success under a different administration, they're implying that there might be a better way to approach things than what we're doing now.
Okay, that makes sense. The newsletter also briefly mentions their regular segments, Memes of the Week and Hypocrite of the Week. What do you think those lighter features add to their overall approach?
Well, they probably serve a few purposes. First, they inject a bit of humor and keep things from getting too serious. They can also engage the audience on a more personal level, you know, and it's probably a way for them to offer some more direct commentary and critique, you know, poking fun at current events and public figures.
Yeah, I can see that. And finally, the newsletter circles back to a central theme, their independence as a media outlet. They make it clear that they don't rely on corporations, advertisers, or, as they put it, communist influencers. It's all about listener support. Why do you think they emphasize this point so strongly?
I think it's their key selling point. By highlighting their listener-funded model, they're saying, look, we're not beholden to any special interests. We can offer unbiased analysis because we don't have those pressures or potential conflicts of interest. It's a message of autonomy that probably resonates with their audience, who are looking for unfiltered information.
Right. They want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So for our listeners out there, the folks who are trying to stay informed and make sense of all the noise, what's the main takeaway from this glimpse into the No Agenda newsletter?
I think it gives us valuable insight into the minds of these media creators. We see what they're thinking about, but also how they're framing those thoughts, and even more importantly, why they're choosing to focus on certain things while intentionally ignoring others. Understanding their funding model and their editorial priorities is crucial for interpreting their analysis, right?
Definitely. It reminds us that when we consume media, we're not just getting information. We're getting information that's been filtered through a particular lens, shaped by specific perspectives. And the decisions about what to amplify, what to downplay, and what to completely ignore, those are all deliberate choices.
It makes you think, you know?
Yeah.
What are the underlying motivations of the media sources we rely on? Whether it's listener support, advertising revenue, or something else entirely, we need to be aware of those dynamics if we want to develop our own informed opinions.
It's almost like a responsibility, not just for the media outlets, but for us as consumers as well. We need to be more mindful of our own consumption habits and actively seek out diverse voices and perspectives.
Exactly. And maybe even question our own assumptions when we encounter new information. Where is this coming from? Who benefits from this narrative? What's the other side of the story?
Lots to ponder for sure. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.